You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. This is SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Monday, the 26th of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, telephone scams. They are on the rise, what you need to know. But first, let's start with the Australian share market, which fell this Monday, down 0.2% on the S&P ASX 200 to 6,155. Resource, banks and tech stocks leading the declines. BHP off by 0.8%, NAB down 1%. But there were some gainers. Coca-Cola Amatil did very well, the best performer on the 200, up 16% on a takeover. And given Melbourne announced the lifting of its lockdown measures today, it was interesting to see e-commerce stocks, those that typically did well during the pandemic, lower today. Kogan down 6%, Temple and Webster down 7.3%, and Adore Beauty, which listed on the share market on Friday, 2.5% stronger, down today though by 16%. For all of that and more, I spoke earlier with George Baburis, the head of research at K2 Asset Management. George, the market is pretty directionless today. Why?
A number of things. Upcoming US election, we've got a lot of data coming out this week, US GDP, which will be a big number as well. It's a massive week for reporting in US with Alphabet, that's Google, Apple, Visa, MasterCard, Facebook, Microsoft, they're all coming out this week. And everyone's waiting for additional policy stimulus to be announced before the election. But the reality is there'll be more required by the end of the year and into 2021 and 22. So markets have a bit of a pause. It's not cheap, but it needs more stimulus to maintain current valuations and to grow those valuations going forward.
To what extent will international events move the markets going forward?
Yeah, it's a key international week for us to look at. Again, US GDP, it's going to be an annualised 30% number for the quarter. Again, it's US reporting gets into that technology, big technology sector. That's very important given they're driving the valuations. And anything to do with partial economic indicators, particularly coming out of Asia and China for that matter.
George, locally we're starting to see a bit more merger and acquisition activity. The takeover of Coca-Cola Amatil here in Australia, is that going to be a continuing theme?
Yes, without a doubt. More M&A activity, particularly with the funding rates are so low. With specifically to Coca-Cola Amatil, this is Coca-Cola Europe buying defensive assets into the Asia-Pacific region, which is growing and defensive, particularly in the COVID sort of shake-up. And those assets in particular into Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand, the Pacific Islands will be a very good defensive expansion for Coca-Cola in Europe. So without a doubt, makes a lot of sense for them, the 6.6 billion US, but more M&A across the different segments to be expected with rates so low.
Where are we likely to see that M&A in activity?
All sectors, pure industrials, transport, technology, healthcare, right across the board, they'll be looking at those. Again, looking for businesses that are capital light as well, without too much regulatory capital, and even financial services online like NetWealth and platform businesses like that. But the M&A activity is going to be right across the board, and I'm afraid the larger companies are going to benefit and get bigger, a larger market share, and the smaller ones would miss out given the backdrop as we come out of this pandemic.
Westpac today also flagged a $1.2 billion profit hit. Bank reporting season is coming up. What are you expecting?
More caution with the banks, impairments to increase. Backdrop, however, the Australian banking system is well capitalised versus other banking sectors offshore, but don't expect too much growth going forward in the banking sector. Remember, they've done a lot of demerging, getting rid of non-core businesses like wealth management and insurance and trustee businesses. So they're just going to be simpler businesses, but they're very capital-heavy businesses. So lower dividends going forward, I'm afraid, for those that look for dividends, and don't expect too much earnings growth, but nevertheless, they're very good businesses by global standards.
And those lower dividends, should shareholders expect them across the board, not just with the banks?
Without a doubt, a generation of a high payout ratio, a generation of Australians getting consistently high dividends versus other equity bourses is now over. We've dropped to number three in the world in that dividend yield, behind now Singapore and the UK. Something to get used to for Australian investors. This is the new era, and lower dividends are part of that, and lower cash rates in Australia.
George Baburis there from K2 Asset Management. There are increasing calls for even greater board transparency this annual general meeting season, especially because they are being conducted virtually because of COVID-19. And there are even plans to make these virtual AGMs more permanent, because it would reduce costs, for example. For more on that and the concerns, I spoke with the CEO of the Australian Council of Superannuation Investors, Louise Davis. What's your concern about virtual annual general meetings?
Well, I think we are open to changes in the annual general meeting process. For example, at the moment, there's way too much paperwork, I think, that is associated with them, and it'd be great to be able to receive paperwork electronically, for example. But our concern really is with the process, because we've got a situation where the timing is really short, consultation only for 2 weeks at really one of the busiest times for investors in the year. We're right in the middle of the AGM season. So our concern is that we haven't really got time to sit down and work through what the issues are, work out what the parameters should be for virtual AGMs. And that's really what we'd like to do, rather than have a rush to get this done now.
What about holding boards to account and the ability for shareholders to ask questions? How should these types of virtual AGMs be conducted, do you think?
Look, I think it was sort of inevitable that we would need to have some kind of stopgap measure during the pandemic. And so I think shareholders have been really, really quite comfortable with an interim measure using virtual AGMs. But we're really only partway through the season, the AGM season now, and it's a bit too early to tell, to be honest, whether there is going to be a detrimental impact to shareholders being able to hold companies to account. One of the things that we're concerned about, for example, is the possibility that companies have too much opportunity to cherry pick which questions they want to answer, you know, whether or not there might be limited opportunity for investors to follow up on questions that they want to ask. So I think really what we would prefer to see is the full AGM season play out, and then a decent period of consultation following that.
And we've seen also today in the media some more concerns about diversity on boards. What's your take and what's your concern?
Look, we've been really pleased to see a big increase in the number of women on boards over the last 5 to 10 years, off the back of a big push by investors to make sure that that happened. But we're still concerned that the pool of directors is quite narrow. So we would like to see some more thought given to how we get a broader pool of directors available to boards. You know, how we get people with different life experience and different ways of approaching issues, so that there's a greater level of challenge and diversity of experience on boards.
Louise Davidson there, the CEO of the Australian Council of Superannuation Investors. And a warning now about the resurgence of phone scammers. There's been a rise in the number of those pretending especially to be from the tax office, or a pre-recorded message saying pay up because there is a warrant for your arrest. So the ACCC says scammers, usually pretending to be government officials, have intimidated people into handing over around $9 million this year, and they disproportionately impact people who speak English as their second language. For more, here is the ACCC Deputy Chair, Delia Rickard.
Threat-based scams usually come by phone, and usually you'll get a robocall at the beginning and telling you that you are in some kind of trouble, you've done something wrong, and it will be a government department calling. They ask you to press 1. If you press 1, you'll then be put through to a range of scammers who pretend to be different police officers, government officials, who will tell you that you need to hand over money or you'll be arrested, and they will usually collect a lot of your personal information at the same time so that they can pretend to be you and open accounts in your names, run up credit in your name. The ones which are concerning us the most, because they are by far the most frequent, is threat-based scams where the scammer is targeting native Mandarin speakers. They pretend to be from a Chinese government, police, embassy. They will tell the person that they have committed some kind of crime, or they may link it to COVID and have implications of persons doing the wrong thing there. And so far this year, they have managed to get over $6.5 million from Chinese Mandarin speakers in Australia. And they're particularly targeting, it seems to be, young women, 24 and younger, are the ones that are losing the greatest amount of money.
Delia Ricard there, the Deputy Chair of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. That is On the Money for this Monday, the 26th of October 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This On the Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It's not personal advice and it doesn't consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.